Rarely the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Lots of stuff still to come, and not the least of which is Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education, who is in the studio right now to talk about something that we haven't talked about in a while, and that is the school budget. But given the state budget, given the state of the economy, given the repeal of the QEO, it's something that demands some discussion because, boy, we did not plan for the future, did we, Don?
No. We had opportunities to do that, too.
Yes, we did. We had opportunities. As I understand, we knew we were not going to get the kind of state aids that we're normally used to getting back in March of 09?
Well, it was pretty obvious that the,
well, yeah,
how
it
the
was
budget was
obvious.
Going.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think that was pretty clear.
Yeah. Number one, they weren't going to change the funding formula. That was stated in so many words. And you knew trying to fill a $6 billion budget hole for the state, they were going to cut.
Yeah, and where were they going to cut? They were going to cut from property-rich districts. They were going to cut from districts like ours.
And cut state aids.
Son of a gun. They sure did, didn't they? Yep. Okay, so now we're going to get the typical blame game, I'm sure, of, oh, the state. Oh, the state cut our aids. Okay, but well, we get that all the time. And it happens with enough regularity throughout the state of Wisconsin, and we see districts struggle with this, that it would seem to me we've got a plan B, Don. How big's the hole, and what's the plan B?
That's right.
What is our hole and what is our plan B?
We didn't have one.
Color me surprised.
They had an opportunity. Well, they have an obligation in May to identify what teachers they may lay off. They didn't do any. You would think, and I pose that question and that challenge, why don't you plan for layoffs?
It's got to happen.
Send the notices out. If you don't need them, you don't need them.
Were they crossing their fingers and hoping that they would be gifted somehow in the budget process? I mean, I know some people were sort of holding out hope against hope in other areas of government and did not get their wishes granted. I mean, was it really one of these things where the legislative liaison was, you know, having conversations and being assured that somehow it wasn't going to affect Madison? You know, Madison, which typically, you know, finds itself in despite the fact we always have budget problems with the school board, but in school district, but we tend to be a buffered enough area. I mean, how do you not look at the economy and how do you not look at the budget and how do you not look at the deficit and not realize that we're going to get hammered here?
The only thing that the legislators were telling school districts was that it wouldn't be more than 10% cut for any district, even the rich ones. Well, we know what happened. But the other thing, Vicki, is that for at least four, if not five, of the last 2-year contract agreements with teachers. They made agreements, the board made agreements with the union for increases in salaries and benefits, not knowing where the money was coming from because they didn't have it.
Because the typical way we do things here.
So the habit is, you know, spend the money and then hope you can find the money to cover it.
Where are we going to find them? How much money do we need to find?
$12 million.
That's a lot of money. So where are we going to find that money?
Well,
there are some good ideas out there. They may be tough to implement really quickly, but what are some of the ways that the board is talking about? Now, Dave McCann covered last school board meeting, right? And you got assurances. Dave actually claims that three board members said they were not going to go to the referendum.
Well, three's not enough.
Solution. This is true. Next time you need to get some more people, Dave, to see if we've got a majority on the board. Well, and we had that same situation before. No, we're not going to go to referendum. You know, you guys are always trying to gin up the outrage about referendum. But when push comes to shove, how many times have we gone to referendum? a number of times. In fact, almost every time.
Last year.
Knowing full... In fact, we knew quite likely last year was certainly not going to be the last of the referendum questions. In fact, you were on this show saying we're going to need another referendum because it's not enough money.
That's right.
All right. So $12 million. Where can we find $12 million? You're always the guy with the numbers. If you had to try to find $12 million, in time to get this done, where is the quickest place to find big pots of money?
Well, the quickest and perhaps the easiest, but at the same time, the very hardest, is they're in negotiations with the teachers' union for another 2-year agreement.
No raise.
If they went no raise, no increase in benefits, no increase in salaries, they would save over $12 million.
So that, but of course, that would also be, now assuming the economy gets back on track, that actually may not be as problematic. But if the economy continues the downward trajectory we seem to think it might be on, could still be problematic later on. But what is the indication that the teachers are willing to take something like a salary freeze or a benefits freeze for 2 years in order, say, to avoid potential layoffs, which is the second hardest thing you could possibly do if you're looking to find money?
Well, I don't think Mr. Matthews will stand for that.
I don't either, and that's the problem, Don. Where are we going to find... All right, John Matthews, where do you want us to find $12 million, John Matthews?
Yeah, is he going to be a part of the solution or a part of the problem?
This time the board stood up and started asking these questions as well. Because I'm going to tell you what, in a recession, if the board comes to us when we know the city is going to raise our taxes because Cheslevich put out the 11.2% property tax increase number, knowing he was going to shock people so that maybe he can slide in with an 8% increase and get away with somehow saving the day. We know the state is increasing property taxes. We know the county's going to do it. I mean, we are getting hammered here in Madison, which is usually a place that can count on, maybe at the bad times, about a 3 to 3.5% unemployment rate. Now at a 6.2% unemployment rate for Madison, when everyone works for government, that's a huge number of people. So exactly how do they think they're going to be last in line for the tax increase, and they're going to have to ask us for it? I mean, if I'm a board member, I don't want to do that again in a recession. Not when everybody else is just going to take it from you.
Well, and nobody wants to lay off teachers either, but they don't have the $12 million. Pure and simple.
I know. We closed that TIF district not even realizing what that was going to do.
That's right. They wouldn't ask the questions. They were prompted.
Well, now we've got the board between a rock and a hard place. Let's hope that this sort of forces some tougher decision-making inclinations among members of the board. I know you've had some good conversations with board members, so we're not going to call out, just basically say the City of Madison School Board is not trying. But I'm telling you what, you don't get to half-ass this one. It's a terrible time in this economy. We have seen Dane County Housing. Now, we had an 11% new housing increase nationwide. We actually saw a decrease here in Dane County. We have new policies that are bringing in more troubled people who need more services. That's always more money in schools. All of this kind of stuff is putting pressure on our district, and maybe a lot of people don't realize this, but it's going to not require less, and less and less and less. It's going to require, typically, if we have the status quo, more and more and more. So, I mean...
Well, and with the big increase in... the out-migration of students from our district, that's less state aid that we get as well.
That's a good point.
So, and that means basically the less needy, the less costly students are leaving, which leaves us the high-cost students to pay for. In the current budget, they planned on a 4% increase in salaries and benefits.
That's madness.
That was the plan.
That's about $12 million.
Yeah, also planned a 4% increase in the assessed valuation of property.
Oops.
Well, they lucked out this year. But that isn't going to be the case next year because it has gone down.
Yeah. Actually, it should... It may be at the flat point, is what I'm hearing from the realty people, is that they, which
that's
is not
best
good.
That's the best case scenario.
That's a good point. Best case scenario that, we are kind of in a holding pattern in terms of property values. We're still going to see this, the low-cost students leave. And I'm not blaming the board here. Let me be clear. I'm not blaming Dan Nerad for inviting in, you know, students who need assistance. I blame county board for that. I blame city council for that.
Exactly.
And what they never realize is that, and the board should start to get ticked off about this, is that that directly impacts the cost of education. It's special needs education. It's reading education. It's math education. We've got all these new funky ideas of curriculum that cost so much and don't put the numbers on the books. We've seen problems with our at-risk students in the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concepts Test. You know, I mean, if there is a time to finally take a stand, wouldn't you think this recession is the time, Don?
Oh, I absolutely believe that.
If they can't do it now, then there's no hope for the school district.
Because it's the best opportunity for some leverage.
Right.
To get back control of some of the things they've given up over the years in negotiations, plus getting a handle on salaries and benefits.
Charles, welcome to the show. Say hi to Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education.
Hello, Glenn. How you doing?
It's Don, actually.
Don, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Hi, Charles.
I had a question. I know that it keeps coming up that teachers want to be compared to other professionals, and they compare their salaries and this and that. But in the business world right now, a lot of people are taking pay cuts. A friend of mine had to take a 5% pay cut and then a 10% pay cut the following month for an indefinite period of time until it could be reinstated because they're struggling. I myself have had to take, you know, over a $5,000 pay cut at different times when I work for a company that's struggling. And other people took more pay cuts than that for a year or more. And we, you know, to provide the same services, and you're worried about, you know, holding the line, you know, I mean,
cut.
In reality, you know, they also be talking about pay cuts.
I agree.
You know, to keep on working and everything else. I mean, the taxes aren't there. People aren't making the money. The base isn't the same. It's like any other company. You can't have it when it's great and not suffer with it when it's slow.
You know, Scott Walker in Milwaukee County has taken county workers and reduced their hours by, I believe, 5 hours a week.
And have to take furlough.
Or you could take a furlough. I mean, that was the other option. Right. He was looking to not furlough people, but looking to find a way that everyone could stay employed.
Right.
But he makes a good point, Don.
Yes.
And now, what is that? What is the process of this? And the first place I can think of to take us not only from a holding pattern, but maybe also, you know, into the cut range is administrative salaries, because those are always, you know, over padded, and we have some administrators that I think even people on the board, if they didn't have a microphone in their face, would agree could go. And some of the teachers as well. We've got a lot of these resource teachers that seem to just float around. I mean, that's someplace we could go as well. And I'm not banging on teachers here, people, but Charles makes an excellent point. We laid off 1,800 people company-wide at my company, and there may be more coming. A lot of people took pay cuts. I know that I think it was the Capital Times had handed down some pretty substantial pay cuts to their staff so that more people didn't have to be laid off. It's a recession. Isn't it time we started to behave like it was a recession?
That's right. It's part of the solution.
It's part of the solution. Good idea, Charles. Good point. You know, Charles wants to call us out and say, you guys are talking about a holding pay. You know, you and I are being realistic here about the board because the idea that they might be that bold. Although I'd like to see it. If there is a time, look, the people who write the checks are us.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, if they keep somehow saying to us, we don't, and this is what it says, whether they're saying it bluntly or not, we don't care that you're struggling. We don't care that you got laid off. We don't care you're having trouble paying your mortgage. We don't care you can't sell your house, you know, because you can't afford it any longer and you're trying to avoid a foreclosure. Because that's what it says when they, if they come back without, you know, having fought the toughest, hardest battle they could possibly fight and ask us for more money.
That's right. And, you know, Charles was making the point about, you know, layoffs and furloughs and so forth. I keep bringing up the idea that, well, there's 76% of the households in the school district don't have kids in school. But they're very, very committed and concerned to having good public education. And they've been very generous over the years.
In fact, they've barely questioned.
Right.
By the way, they've trusted.
Yeah. But there's a significant percentage of those 76% households that are on fixed incomes. Social Security has been flattened. In other words, there won't be any increase, they say, for 3 years. Just taking state employees who are retired, those in the fixed fund took a 3.1% cut.
How about people who are not even in the state system, but looked at their 401ks and their IRAs and their money market accounts?
My 401k tanked 47%.
So did mine, Don. I'm glad I'm 41 years old and I can hope cross my fingers and hope it comes back.
And I was in stable funds.
So was I. So again, it's not funny, but here we are in a position where we built a whole new school. It wasn't built for capacity enrollment. It requires an operating budget. It requires maintenance. We are now there was chatter, I hope it went away, about building even another school. We've got underutilized buildings that have operating expenses. We have got the opportunity now with teacher salary contract negotiations. We always have that opportunity with administrative staff and administrative salary negotiations. We always seem to take a pass on that. We've still got Fund 80, which is not under the revenue caps, but it's money that we pay taxes for things that lots of people in a recession might consider extras, like funding MSCR and things like that, and pontoon boat rides, et cetera, et cetera. We've also got the ability to use this as an opportunity to experiment with structural changes in the way we deliver education. We need to look at reading recovery. This is a hugely expensive program. I believe the quote you had given me was somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 per student.
Correct.
And we get about a 50% success rate on that program.
That's correct.
All right, that's not a good bang for your buck. You know, you can get better odds with some of the casino games. We also have the option, and I think the mandate now, to explore virtual education. We should have been looking at this when the teachers union was doing battle with Ozaukee schools, the Ozaukee virtual school. I believe it was back in 03 or 04. We should have been looking at that model so that we could collapse services and offer services via distance learning, if it was a service that La Follette had that maybe West didn't have, et cetera, et cetera. I looked at the virtual school application process. For Madison, it just looks like it was an afterthought, frankly.
Yeah, and another thing that citizens can, and in my opinion should, communicate with board members is an assessment and evaluation of programs and services.
Finally, please.
That was one of the six strategic objectives in the strategic plan that came from the citizens of the community. And the school board is not giving serious enough attention to implementing that strategy.
And the thing is, you guys even asked for it, you know. And now being a brand new, newly minted homeowner here and getting to take a look at exactly how much of my tax bill is going to schools, it's time to shape up. I tell you what, more information needs to be passed along to renters in this community that they are actually footing the bill as well. Unfortunately, you don't get that information very easily. But I tell you, if more people knew how much of their money was going out the door, they would start demanding some accountability. We got to take a break. You can stay, right?
Yes, I can.
Yay!
Thank
Don Severson, 321-1310, or toll-free 877-235-1310. All right, I've only got about 45 seconds here, and Don Severson is going to come back after the news break, but just enough time for me to let you know what today's clue for the Mercury Mariner hybrid is. Today's clue is inflation keeps us in business. Oh, brother. Inflation keeps us in business. Yesterday's clue, we headed north to find this one. Go to WIB.com, keyword green, if you think you know the answer, and you could register to win that beautiful Mercury Mariner hybrid, courtesy of Gordy Boucher, Lincoln Mercury of Madison, this radio station, and our brother station next door at the Big 1070. We'll be right back. Did that just go out on the air? I hope not. Don Severson, if we've got time, because Don is a Midville area resident, we do need to talk about the street situation and the construction situation going on over in your neck of the woods.
You want to push another hot button?
You bet I do. we don't have time to do it during this half-hour segment, we'll bring you back on and we'll talk about it, because what is going on over in the Midville area is something that's plaguing other neighborhoods. It's right now sort of at maximum density, though, over at Midvale, so we can actually see it all proceed. But we are going to go back to our discussion on the situation with the school budget again. We have a $12 million hole. We have absolutely seen reduction in state aid. It was bound to happen. We knew it was going to happen. We're in a tough economy. The idea that we can go and ask the taxpayers for more money without showing that they've done an evaluation of programs and services, without being super aggressive in contract negotiations with teachers. I mean, maybe the Madison residents are willing to roll over on that. I'm somehow suspecting that in this tough economy, they might be inclined to say no. But let's get back to that evaluation, Don. You have been on my program now. I signed on in 2003. I think 3 months after I went on the air, I had you on the program. And guess what you said? Evaluation of programs and services.
It's an old story, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? I mean, this is it's to the point where I don't even know why you have to say it any longer. When the people of the district said that it was one of their top priorities, an evaluation of programs and services, that means how much are we spending? Does it work? How well does it work? We know of a couple of programs. The one that always jumps to mind because it's so, I mean, I can't even believe it hasn't been addressed is Reading Recovery.
Right.
$8,000 per student, huge high cost. Questionable benefit. Is there a better way, cheaper way to do that? Could we do that with a virtual model? All of these things are not getting done.
That's right. At least I felt a little bit good that other people recognized the need for assessment and evaluation in the strategic planning process. While that wasn't a real good cross-section of the community, it was a broad cross-section of the community, involved 60 people. In that process, and by consensus, adopted a strategic objective to rigorously evaluate and assess all program services and personnel to determine effectiveness and results. And
one of the
costs.
Things we learned over the course of having conversations about the budget is we tend toward not monitoring the waste that is built in to a bureaucracy. Every school district has waste. Even the Milwaukee Public School District, and by no means are they a shining example of accountability, but even the Milwaukee Public School District has posted all of its requests for proposals, all of its expenditures online in a searchable form. So if you want to find out, you know, what was used for maintenance, what materials, what contractor, I mean, to the detail of the penny, it is available in a searchable way online. I know people who can do this in a relatively, you know, rapid fashion, who'd be happy to come into Madison and assist the Madison School District with this. We don't even have anybody who seems to be interested in letting us sort of peek behind the curtain. In fact, Dave McCann tried to peek behind the curtain. He's now covering our school board meetings and was told he was not welcome behind the curtain. Apparently there are some curtains that are just too scary for the media to observe.
Well, I will say in behalf of this current board and superintendent and assistant superintendent for business services, they're very, very much more interested and open in providing information.
All right. If they're open, then this is a time to hit the phones. This is a time to email. This is a time to say, okay, you're open. Be open. If you're interested in sunshine, then let the sunshine in. Let us see these evaluations so that we, the constituents, 76% of us don't have kids in school. But you know what? We want to know our money is being used in an effective fashion. And when we see some of the numbers coming back from the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concepts test, we are not heartened by where particularly some specific populations in Madison are on that list. When we are starting to slip in terms of academic performance in a district that always likes to hold itself up as the best in the state, we need to see how things are going. And I don't see why a board would be terrified of demanding that. It's not Art Rainwater anymore as the superintendent. It's Dan Nerad. He's a brand new guy. You know, he's got a whole new fresh ideas for this. And let's just open the process up to assessment. You asked Superintendent Nerad how long it would take to do this. What did he tell you? If you wanted to do just a quick assessment of, say, you know, just academics.
Oh, it wouldn't take very long at all. A
couple of months.
Yeah.
A couple of months to pull that together.
You can't do all the programs and services in that period of time, but you can sure identify the priorities to deal with.
Yeah.
But you need a plan, and you got
to
do it.
You need a plan, and you need a determination to stick to that plan.
That's right.
You almost need some sort of edict to stick to that plan. And again, if the board fails in this economy to take the opportunity, there are no political boogeymen out there that are as scary as taxpayers in a recession.
That's right.
Really. There is no one to worry about that is more important than taxpayers in a recession. We have a school, a brand new school. What's the capacity on this thing?
850, I believe.
And how many students are in there?
It was about 35% capacity when it opened.
I guess we need to build up some more apartment complexes and offer some vouchers so that people from Chicago can move their kids into the school district. I'm serious. I mean, that's ridiculous. We were arguing about this not being at capacity and it wasn't going to be at capacity when we built the damn thing. Now we've got a maintenance budget. Now we've got an operating budget. It's this kind of frivolity. No, it's not frivolity. It's lack of understanding of the consequences of decisions.
That's right.
It's a lack of forward thinking, I think. And that can be corrected. You can teach people to think ahead because they do it in their everyday lives. I'm telling you what, I think what needs to happen is people need to start demanding, this is your last best chance. You are not going to get an opportunity in Madison, Wisconsin to start demanding some common sense out of your government like you have right now. Think about it.
That's right. People have to get active.
People have to get active, and this is your last best chance because you've got a terrified school board right now. What the heck are they going to do? They're probably sitting there going, why am I still at this job? Maybe I won't run for re-election next time around. You know, I mean, it's not like it pays a lot.
Yeah. Well, they need us to cover their back and make sure that they do what they're supposed to do, and they don't know that they have that, and that's because people don't show up to vote.
They don't show up to school board meetings.
And I think that's because I call those people who don't vote and who don't take interest and don't communicate, they're part of the problem also.
Yeah, you know, here's another opportunity that the board can have, and they can always point to the constituents as saying, they made me. You know, this is a famous trick of politicians. This is what my constituents wanted. I got all these emails. If they want to cover their backsides with some political, deep-seated political constituency, just point and say, all of these people wanted me to do this. I mean, I would be offering up everything from boundary changes to closing down school buildings to laying off teachers, throw it all on the table and say, all right, public. I want the public. I don't want the special interest groups. I want you public people who pay taxes to come on down and tell us what you would like to see us do.
Exactly.
And engage and knock down, drag out on every dragon that could possibly be slayed.
Exactly.
They don't have the guts. I don't think that's going to happen. I think maybe we can get them to be tough in contract negotiations, though.
I would hope so.
What about Fund 80? How's that going? I heard that there was some progress with Fund 80, but it's still somewhere in the neighborhood of $14 million we've got sitting in that fund right now.
Well, there was $2 million returned, if you will, and not taxed for this year because it was a surplus from a year ago. So that helped reduce the levy and the tax revenue for this year. What they have embarked on is a requirement that all the programs in MSCR have to be budgeted openly and identified as to what the costs are and what the fees are. Now, I haven't seen all of the criteria they're using yet in terms of determining costs. And you can play around with that kind of stuff in all kinds of ways.
And it's not enough because this is exempted money from the revenue caps. They don't have to ask us to put money. This is why we saw the funneling of honest school education-related stuff into the Fund 80.
Right.
You know, here's another opportunity for the school board to say, look, City of Madison, for the most part, these are city services that we are providing and we are constantly having to answer to our constituents for. You guys, you know, don't have to go and if for some reason we're, you know, pouring all of this money, frankly, that the taxpayers are sick of paying into Fund 80, and then the stuff that we have left over here, we end up taxing them or asking them to be taxed in terms of a referendum. We're sick of it. We're constantly being beat up. I'm playing the violin if I'm a school board member and saying, City of Madison, don't you think it's time to step up for the senior citizen programs? Don't you think it's time to step up for the softball and the pontoon rides, since this has nothing to do with education?
Well,
don't you think?
Yeah, this board in the last year or so has talked in ways that they've never talked about before in terms of the core mission of public education in this district. Well, they're trying to sort out what that means, but...
Isn't it teaching kids to read and teaching kids to write and putting them in a position when they graduate that they can be productive members of society?
But you see, the political capitulation is all this other stuff.
Well, stop it. Yeah, you know, and they can talk exactly. all they want, and I'm all about talking. And isn't it fun to sit down and hold hands and have conversation and drink white wine? I mean, we have been talking for years. It's always about talking. You know, I don't look at it as an optimistic turn of events when I hear that people are talking. Well, this is why people...
Well, at least they are.
But they have talked in the past, but what they never had was the pressure from the folks right. in the community. 76% of you don't have kids in school. You all pay taxes to the Madison Metropolitan School District. You need to email. You need to get on the phones. And you need to say, you know what? We're happy you're talking. How about we turn some of that talk into action and get serious? I took a 20% pay cut, or I was laid off. I had 20% of my hours taken from me, or I no longer have my 401k match, or whatever that might be. You need to start considering that there is some pain out here, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, talk is fine, but talk is cheap.
True.
Action saves money. Or costs money. It
yes,
all depends on...
Either way.
All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to go over a really quick explanation of some of the madness at Midvale. That's what we're going to call it.
Oh, okay.
Or the mayhem at Midvale. What do you like better?
I don't care.
All right. I like mayhem at Midvale. You happy about the Target? You like the idea of a Target, Don?
I do.
All right, see? Don lives over there. All right, we'll be right back. You know what? We don't have enough time to have Don get into the mayhem at Midvale, so we're going to have to bring him back another time to talk about mayhem. Maybe we'll bring that up on Friday or something. Although Don did make an interesting point to me during the commercial break. This is the last year of the five-year maintenance
Correct.
Referendum?
The current maintenance referendum.
So we're going to be tapped out in year six. We're going to need more money?
Probably.
Good times!
Good timing.
School board, I hope you're listening. We're not beating you up. We're giving you guys some inspiration, we hope, to dig in and start, you know, slaying some of those dragons that you've had trouble slaying.
There's projects that they've identified that they want to get done, and it's not going to get done in this five-year program.
Now with a $12 million hole.
No, and of course, obviously, they aren't budgeting for maintenance like they should in a regular budget. You know,
never did. That was our complaint the last time.
Somebody sent me an email today and says, budgeting? Do they know what budgeting is?
Don Severson, Active Citizens for Education. We got to take a quick break.